In advance for your prayers for my grandmother. She was really a remarkable woman. When she died on Saturday, she was just 2 months short of her 99th birthday. Lived a full life. Her two most famous bosses, one when she was in law school, she was stenographer for a very unknown lieutenant who had just been assigned to the Philippines by the name of Dwight Eisenhower. And then years later, before she retired after a 40-year career with the UN representing the Philippines, she was a lawyer, as was my grandfather. She worked for the Emperor Haile Selassie in Ethiopia. Wild, wild. So the stories you can imagine my grandmother had were remarkable. Happily, she died in her sleep, which I think we'd all pray to go so quietly. She went to go take her afternoon nap, and she didn't wake up. So a little bit of a shock to the family, but we're grateful to Almighty God for a full life that she had, also a true patriot of the Republic of the Philippines. Our gospel passage this morning includes an important detail regarding the manner in which Jesus calls the 12. After spending the night in prayer up on a mountain height, he calls them up to himself. And then together, they descend from the mountain and engage a great multitude on a stretch of level ground. The crowd, Luke tells us, includes Jews and Gentiles alike. Jesus then goes on to cure diseases and to drive out demons as the great crowd seeks to touch him. So understood in a certain light, you might say that this is much like the years spent in formation at the seminary. Jesus calls you up to the heights of the Northern Expressway. And then eventually, you are sent to go forth and teach all nations, as the facade on the building reminds us, to engage the human family, both Catholic and non-Catholic alike. Your greatest power, rooted in the authority of Christ, will be spiritual, not temporal. You will be ordained to consecrate the Eucharist, to absolve sins, to baptize, and to celebrate most of the rest of the sacraments and rites of Holy Mother Church. Acting in the person of Christ, you yourself will drive out demons by curing the spiritually ill. And if you are a holy and effective priest, like Jesus experienced, people will seek you out. So might we just call two lessons from the many lessons that could be called from this passage. The first is, like Jesus and the newly minted apostles in the passage, you will be expected to engage people. For some of you, that comes very naturally. For others, it's a little bit more of a struggle. It's always a good reminder to remember that you will not be ordained for yourself, but for others. Your ordination will not simply grant you authority to generically lead others to Christ. After all, anyone can do that. Rather, you will be ordained to lead others to Christ specifically through the sacramental life of the church and the preaching office, which you will be expected to share with the spiritually thirsty. Here on the mountain, of sorts, the arduous work of formation includes both removing obstacles in your personality that will inhibit the people of God from seeing Christ, and to develop virtues that will promote their authentic human flourishing and your own. Engaging the people of God, then, our second lesson, must be predicated on the action of Jesus prior to the calling of the 12. Prayer. Prayer must be the animating force behind every apostolic activity. Prayer must be cultivated on the mountain height before you return to that level stretch of ground in your diocese to minister to the people Jesus died for. And I would surmise, if you truly learn how to pray while you are here, then you will communicate a very important message to the people of God, that you are both pastor and disciple. You are pastor for your people while you are disciple with them. The people of God want to know that you empathize with their suffering and that you have compassion for their needs. That while you teach, you are also being formed. That, of course, means that it is not to say that you always give your people what they want to hear, but it always means that you give them what they need, even if that means making sometimes very unpopular decisions. So you will continue to be formed as you form. Some of the greatest lessons I can tell you will learn in formation won't be here on the mountain. It will be among the people of God on that stretch of level ground in the parish, as fellow disciple, even as you exercise your authority in Christ as pastor. So let us beseech the Lord to give us hearts like His, to teach us how to pray and how to lead His people to the Father's house, even as we ourselves are being shaped and formed to be a disciple.